This Psalm 62, part of which we have just read together, is an expression of the psalmist David's confidence in the Lord. In the first two, he says, I shall not be greatly moved. And he's talking here, of course, about not being greatly moved from his walk with the Lord and from his communion with God and from his stand for the Lord and from his service for the Lord. He says, I shall not be greatly moved. And if we go down to the first six then, we find the similar words in the first six. Although in the first six he says, I shall not be moved. He changes it here from I shall not be greatly moved. And the confidence appears to be growing until it is absolute confidence. And he says, I shall not be moved. Or if you like, I shall not be moved at all. So David the psalmist here is expressing his complete confidence in the Lord. We can see the repetition there of a Hebrew word. For example, in the first one we have the word truly. And then in the first two, the word only. And in the first nine, we have the word surely. And this is the same Hebrew word that is translated by these three English terms. It is the bringing to us the sense here that his soul is waiting truly on God. His soul is waiting surely on God. And he is waiting on God alone, only on the Lord. We can see the personal relationship that the psalmist has with the Lord. We look at the opening seven verses there, and 14 times he uses the personal pronoun, my. He says in the first one, for example, truly, my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Then we have, he only is my rock, my salvation, my defense, as we read through those verses. So there is a personal, strong, confident relationship here between the psalmist David and the Lord. But we come to the first eight there, and this would be our text. And in that verse 8, we have three things to be considered. You will note in that verse 8 there the fact that is stated. Here's the fact. God is a refuge for us. In the first 7, of course, he makes it more personal. He says, my refuge is in God. But if we take it here, in the comprehensive sense, he's talking about all of the redeemed. He's talking about our refuge, that our refuge is in the Lord. God is our refuge. It needs to be said, of course, that God is not the refuge of everyone. The ungodly, the Christ rejecter, those who rebel against the Lord, the ungodly, these do not find any sense of safety or refuge in the Lord. This needs to be said. This is a psalm that applies to the redeemed of God, to those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, to those who are saved by the grace of God, born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Here's a text and here's a psalm. It is for the comfort of the people of God. Dear unsaved today, let it be said right at the very beginning that you can find no comfort, no sense of refuge and safety in the Lord until you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and repenting of your sin, throw yourself on the mercy of God and on the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. we have a refuge in the Lord. People, we need a refuge. We need a hiding place. We need a place of protection, and the Lord is that to us. Let me just say this, that we need protection. We need a place where we can be hidden from the wrath of God, that wrath which is due to us because of our sin. Because of our sin, we are under the condemnation of God, and we await the wrath of God to fall upon us. This is a sinner's situation. One of the plainest pictures we have of this is seen in Noah's Ark, where the sinner can find safety. Over in the chapter 6 and 7 of Genesis, there we have brought before us the sin of the people in Noah's day. And as we look at that, then we can see how that sin grieved the Lord. And as a result of that sin, the wages of that sin, what it deserved, God's judgment and God's wrath fell upon them in the form of the great flood. Now God commanded Noah to build the ark, and when it was finished, to enter into the ark, he and his wife and his three sons and their wives. All of the others outside of the ark, they laughed at the whole idea of a flood coming. They'd never heard the likes before, and they mocked at it. But the storm did come. The flood did come. Do you see what God says? He does. What God says will happen, will happen. And although the world mocked at the idea of a flood coming, the flood did come. And all outside of the ark perished, but all in the ark were saved. The storm beat upon that divinely designed vessel. The deluge of rain fell on it, and the waves crashed upon it, but all inside were safe. The water could not get in. We read in the scriptures, it was covered with pitch. Now, people, that ark is a picture of Christ in his atoning work. That word pitch that we have, the pitch that covered the ark, it is the very same word, as many of you will know. It is the very same Hebrew word from which we get atonement. And of course, it is pointing to the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's pointing to his sacrificial work when he bore the storm of God's wrath for us in our place. He bore our sin as our substitute. And therefore he turned the wrath of God that we deserved. He turned that wrath of God away from us. Just like the ark took the beating, but Noah and the others inside of it, they were safe and secure. The ark was Noah's place of refuge, Noah's place of safety. So Christ is the refuge from God's wrath due to us. He turned the wrath of God away from us by bearing it himself. Now we note this and we emphasize this. It's a point that has been well rehearsed. But let me say it again, there was only one ark. Not many of them, only one. There was only one place of safety, that was the ark. And people, there is only one place of safety today from the storm of the wrath of God that is due to us because of our sin. And that is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. And to emphasize that, people, there is only one door into the ark. There's only one door into the place of salvation, into the place of saving, into the place of safety, and that is Christ alone. That is Christ alone. The lesson then is simply this, that all in Christ are safe, and all out of Christ will perish. You need to have Christ as your Savior. You need to get under his precious cleansing blood, or else you will perish eternally in your sins in hell. Man needs a place of safety from the wrath of God is found in Christ. But then again, the Lord is a refuge, a hiding place in all of the troubles of life and all of the onslaughts of the devil and the devil's crowd. David knew that. We were reading the verses 3 and 4. There was a continual attack upon David. It knew no let up. In the first 3, he says, how long? He's talking here, as it were, to the enemies, to those who hated David because of his love of the Lord and his walk with God. And he's talking here about that continual attack. There was no let up in it. He says, how long will it continue? Their purpose, as we read in the first 4, it is to bring him down. They consult with each other. They connive together to bring him down, to bring down the child of God. And we read again in those verses, they will do it by lies, by misrepresenting him, by deceit, and even by flattery. They will speak nice words to him while they curse him in their hearts. David knew well by personal experience the fierce assault from his enemies, those who were God's enemies. People, again, the application can be made to the people of God today. Dear child of God, it can be made as far as you're concerned. How continual and wicked are those attacks on God's people, attacks on God's word and all that God is, attacks against his holiness, against Bible Christianity, against Bible principles, against Bible standards, those are the days we're living in. When the things of God are under attack, coming from every angle, how long, we might say, is it going to continue? It is always in our face, day after day, the attacks upon the things of God by the enemies of the Lord. But we have a place of refuge, and it's found in the Lord, and God's people can say, even as the psalmist said, God is a refuge for us. We think, as we have been already listening to the announcement, we think of this present time in the world, in our nation, in our province, in our districts. We think of it as a time of uncertainty, confusion, certainly a time of anxiety with the inroads that has been made by the coronavirus. But we have a refuge in the Lord. And here, people, is what we need to get our eyes on. We look to the sovereign God. We have a place of refuge. It's in the Lord. In the Psalm 119, the first 14, the psalmist said, thou art my hiding place. And how safe and how sweet that place is. Back there in the Psalm 31, we find the psalmist again is speaking similar words in the first 20 of the Psalm 31. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strives of tongues. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Here's the thought before us. God's people have a hiding place, a place in a time of anxiousness, anxiety, time of trouble. We lift our eyes to the Lord. That is what the psalmist is talking about here. He's talking about the very presence of the Lord. before the lovely face of God. The word in that Psalm 31, the first 20 there, that word presence, it is the word for face, the Hebrew word for face and for countenance. People, surely the Lord's face, being in the presence of the Lord, being before his face, it speaks of his nearness, it speaks of that continual communion with the Lord, the Lord's face, the Lord's presence. It is our deepest joy for those that are saved, just to know that we can look to the Lord. We can find all we need in the sovereign God who is our God through the redeeming work of Christ. The very face of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, is our help, is our strength, is our comfort. But for the unsaved, it will be not a comfort, the face of the Lord. It is the very place of greatest dread. Dear unsaved, one day you'll be before the face of the Lord. What a dread that should be. In the day of God's wrath, if we turn right to the book of the Revelation, the chapter 6, let me read to you. Here we have this in context. It is the day of the Lord's coming. It is the day of judgment. Let me read the first 15. Revelation 6, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us, they're saying, from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Dear people, one day we will stand before the Lord. For those that are unsaved, those Christ rejectors, standing in their sin, it will be a day of the fierce wrath of the Lamb, even upon them. But oh, to the redeemed, the Lord is an almighty refuge. If you look at the first 11 of this same psalm, it says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. He's the God of infinite power. He is a merciful refuge, according to the first 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. He is a refuge that is accessible to us. We can come before the Lord. The Psalm 71, the first 3, it says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Continually. So the child of God, at any time, continually, he has a refuge in the Lord. He can lift his eyes to the Lord. He lives in the sense of being in the presence of God, never out of the presence of God, never away from the all-seeing eye of God. People, we have a refuge, a safety that is found in the Lord, the God who is altogether powerful, who has mercy, who is sufficient for all things. It talks there in that verse about all times. Trust in him at all times. That's today. Time of anxiety. I'm sure there are those in the meeting, and you're anxious, if not for yourself, you're anxious about other people, or older people, or sick people, or whatever the case may be. My dear friend, bring it to the Lord and trust in God. That is what we have to do. We see the duty here that is exhorted, and we have already run into that point. The duty that is exhorted is to trust in him. Here's the sense of leaning on the Lord. It is putting our confidence in the Lord, not in man. Look at verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Man is worth nothing as far as a refuge for our soul is concerned. We dare not put our trust in man. Man of low degree, he's vanity. That word is empty. He's empty. And men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity, lighter than emptiness. People, we are not to put our trust in man for salvation. But at all times and every circumstance, let our eyes be upon the Lord. Not in riches in the first 10. Riches are of no avail to us whatsoever. We're to trust in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? We go back just a few Psalms to the Psalm 55, the first 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David said, I shall not be moved. He was depending on the promise of the Lord. He would not be moved. But he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. It is to cast ourselves on him alone, on his goodness, on his power, his wisdom, on his promises, on his faithfulness, just to lean on him. We have a lovely picture in the Song of Solomon. In the chapter 8, we won't turn to it. Many will know it very well. In the first 5 there, we have a picture of the bride. Picture of the church, of the believer. She's coming out of the wilderness. She is leaning on her beloved. Leaning on her beloved. That's, my friend, what the child of God does. It is to have the support of the Lord, is to put our weight in him when we have the full weight of problems, and of troubles and of worries and of afflictions. We lean on the Lord, and we lean on all that he is and all that he has promised. We just cast ourselves and all else that we have, we cast ourselves on the Lord. It's interesting that the word there in that psalm for burdens, cast thy burdens on the Lord, here is a Hebrew word, and it has the sense of a gift. It is the Hebrew word for the verb to give. It's used over in Daniel 2 and verse 48 there, where the king made Daniel a great man and gave him gifts. The very same root word. Cast thy burdens on the Lord. Cast thy gifts on the Lord. People, if we could but see it, how often what is a burden to us in our own eyes is really a gift that is given by the Lord to work for our good, even to bring us closer to the Lord. Our burdens ought to be such that brings us closer to the Lord by throwing ourselves upon him and depending on him and having him to support us and to carry us along. Trust in him only. Trust in him fully. Trust in him for all things. Trust in him at all times, it says. Times of adversity, times of prosperity, times of temptation, or of trials, or of opposition, or of affliction. Dear child of God today, if we get nothing else to take home, let us take this home, that we have a God and Savior in whom we can depend. And we can trust in him and in his sovereign ways we can trust him. But then we have the exercise that is urged here, and it says, pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. Speaking of prayer, this is what Hannah did. When we go back into 1 Samuel, the chapter 1, this is what Hannah did. If you look at that chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, the first 10, we read of her, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Look at the first 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord. So here she is. Her heart is sad. She's weeping sore. She's greatly troubled, and she continues praying before the Lord. And the first 12, verse 13 says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. She spake in her heart. And then in the first 15, at the end of that verse, we read that she has poured out her soul before the Lord. She's speaking here, and she's saying here that I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Here's a woman. She is greatly troubled. She brings it to the Lord. It's just as if her circumstances had so crushed and melted her heart that it poured out in her tears as she told the Lord about it. That's the essence of prayer. She got into the presence of God and poured her heart out to him. It was from the heart. That's what we read. Not just words coming from the lips. It was what was in her heart. And people, that is what we are to do today. Times of trouble, we're to trust the Lord, his sovereign ways, his sovereign will. The God who has loved us, planned and provided salvation for us, the very Christ of God, the eternal Son of God and God the Son, who went to the cross for us and bore the wrath of man and the wrath of God on the cross, so that we might be saved and cleansed from our sin in his precious blood. If he has done all of that for us, people, surely we can trust him for the circumstances of today. Pouring our heart out before him in praise for what he has done, in our petitions for how we feel, and for what is in our heart before him. Before the holy, eternal, all-wise, almighty, the gracious, merciful, loving God who is our heavenly Father, and we come to him as his children. What a picture, our heavenly Father, and we come to him as his children. I don't know about you, but I know when I look back to my childhood days and I think of my own father, there was never ever a time when I could not go into his presence and speak with him. No matter what he was doing, how busy he was, for all of us children, he had time to listen to us. As children, I'm sure we had nothing of great importance to say, nothing of great necessity, but things we just wanted to tell him. My father always listened. I made it a practice, a happy practice, in my own life, by the grace of God, that no matter what I was doing, even in the study, I never locked the door of the study. Even when I was seeking the Lord or preparing the message that the Lord had given to me, or seeking the Lord in prayer, I made sure the door was unlocked, so that at any time the children could come in and speak with me. Our Heavenly Father, is that in the infinite sense? Heavenly Father, so that no matter what is on our hearts, we can come and pour it out to Him as His children. That's our privilege, dear child of God. Today, in the light of this old virus, today, in the midst of the opposition against the things of God, whatever the case may be, whatever the problems might be, whether small or great, we can pour our hearts out before the Lord. Then come before Him with confidence. Come before Him with grateful hearts. Come before Him with our praises and our prayers. May the Lord be pleased to apply His word to our hearts, even here today. We'll bow.